We have so much to praise the Lord for. Just every breath, every heartbeat, for His patience with us, for His goodness, for His love, for His sacrifice, His shed blood that washes us whiter than the snow. Oh, what an awesome God we serve. So, Scott gave us different topics out of Romans 8. And this is one he gave that I'm going to be sharing this morning. I want you to know that because this isn't just Mike doing his thing. It's what I was told to do. But at any rate, so the question that I'm asking is, do you know who you are? It sounds like a silly question, doesn't it? You're exactly right, Chuck. You're the man. We would say, of course, we know who we are. Our identities are important to us. You know, many of us, our identities are connected to family. We're sons or daughters, we're moms and dads, or grandparents. Where we define ourselves by where we work, where we live, or go to school, or by our interests or our talents. I'm an artist, or hobbies, you're a sewer. And these descriptions are not bad, but they're based on physical things, natural things, and sometimes they can change unexpectedly. However, God really wants us to see ourselves differently. He wants our identities secure in Him. And He wants us to know who we are based on who we have become in Christ. Like Chuck said, we're His sons and daughters. So who is the real you or the real me in Christ? That's what we're going to look at this morning. You are who God said you are, says you are. Will you agree with that? My question is, does what you say about or think about yourselves match up with what the Father says about us? Because if they don't, one of us is wrong and it's not Him. After all, in the end, the only real opinion that matters is His. And as Chuck said, when we were born again, we became His children, so we're no longer living by the world's standards or the world's identity of us. John 1:12-13 says, but to all who have believed Him and accepted Him, He gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. Praise God. At salvation, we were raised to life in Jesus Christ. Yeah, we still sin at times, but our identity is no longer as sinners. Our new identity, or our new self in Christ, is we're actually saints. Right? That's what He tells us and calls us. So we're His beloved children, joined with Christ, and we need to learn to live out our lives of who we have become. So we're going to read this scripture. Someone here has that scripture to read out of Ephesians 2:1-6.
Of the power. I am
loud enough. It's on. Just keep going. You're fine. Prince of the power of air.
Sorry, yeah. I lost. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, Satan, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ.
Woo! Amen. Did you hear that? According to God, through Paul, we're alive together in Christ, and we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. This is more than a figure of speech. It's a spiritual reality that has become for every believer. Because of our union with Christ, we reap the benefits of his position of divine authority. Through Jesus, we've been given the position of high honor and have access to all of heaven's privileges and spiritual blessings. Also, we have the same power, the Holy Spirit, that raised Jesus from the dead, available to us and living in us and working in our behalf as we walk through this world. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Romans 6:10 says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. You know that. I know that. This is why Jesus told us in John 14:12-14, verily I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And you may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. Wow. That's who we are in Christ. Doing the works that he had been doing. And even greater things? Jesus isn't a liar. What he's saying is the truth here. And of course, this is nothing that we earn. It's all a gift of grace. So in our new identity, the Heavenly Father does not see you or me as nobodies or wretched sinners. Over and over, he calls us chosen, worthy, his children. When you and I were born again and chose to follow him, we were made into new creations. And we know this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Here's the rub in this. Even though we've been made new spiritually, we need to re-educate our minds with this new reality of who we become. This needs to be changed, our minds. This is why Apostle Paul prays for the Ephesians and for us this prayer in Ephesians 1:1-18. So whoever has that scripture, would you read it, please? Listen to this scripture.
Ephesians 1:18-20. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms.
These are awesome scriptures. I hope we're getting this. I can't make you get it. The Holy Spirit needs the Holy Spirit. We need your help to get this in our own minds. I need it to get it in my mind. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you may know. He wants us to know. This is God saying, through Paul, I want you to know who you are now, who I've called you to be. This glorious inheritance that I've given to you, incomparable great power. It's beyond what we can really understand. That's why Paul tells us in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to the way that they do things in this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and what is acceptable and perfect will of God. As we read God's word, that's why he wants us to read it. As we read his word and let it get into our being, our minds are going to be renewed. They're going to be changed. Our thinking will be changed to thinking more like the Father wants us to think. He wants to reshape our thinking, and then our actions will be different as well, to correspond to who we really are in him now, in Christ. Now, there's two examples I want to give you here out of the Word. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Hello? What does that mean? As he is, so are we in this world. Same power that Jesus used when he walked the earth to heal people, to raise people from the dead, all those things was through the Holy Spirit. And we have that same power in us. And he's telling us, as he is, you could say was, or as he ministered, but he still is, so are we in this world. We're supposed to be doing the same things. And that's why he says this in Romans 8, 37, for we are more than conquerors through Christ. More than conquerors. So, here's the thing. Much of the church doesn't realize who they are in Christ. And so they're not benefiting from the blessings and the privileges and the power that's available to us. And we don't believe it, and we don't receive it, we don't walk in it. It's void. It's not there. Just as a multimillionaire will not benefit from his bank account if he doesn't know it's there or doesn't believe it's there. Not going to help him, right? That's the condition of the church today. We're missing out on many of God's blessings, rights, and privileges and power that he's made available. So the rest of the morning that we're going to spend here together is on this particular promise that Sock gave me out of Romans 8, 14 to 17, talking about us being heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So, who has that scripture? Let's read that now.
For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, then we may also be glorified together.
I mean, these are weighty verses. I mean, we could spend a lot of time on this, but as many are as led by the Spirit of God, that's a choice, to be led by him daily, moment by moment. They are the sons of God. And we've been adopted. We can call them Abba, Daddy, Father, God Almighty of the universe. We can call him Abba, Father. And the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit within us of that adoption and being his children. And if we are his children, it says, then heirs. Joint heirs with Christ. Wow. We hear it, but do we believe it? Joint heirs with Christ? We have been given this inheritance from God. And since God's word is truth, then we're going to look at this inheritance. What have we inherited? Well, we're going to get to that. Hebrews 1:1 says, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. Think about that. Jesus inherited all things. But since we are joint heirs with Christ, guess what? We too have inherited all things. What are the all things? We're gonna look at that a little bit. It's really staggering to think about. I mean, I think, Lord, did you really do this? But he has. So we need revelation from the Holy Spirit to know what the all things are and what this really means. I would think our limitation to understanding all things is our sense of what we deserve. I don't know why we go there, but that's how we do it. Well, I don't deserve all things. So that's why we need to renew our minds with his word. It's not like we deserve it. He just gives it anyway. None of us deserve it. Come on. To be an heir, you don't earn it. You don't fight for it. It's already ours. He just gives it to us. It doesn't matter how good you are. Our inheritance is ours as a right of a son or daughter of God. They call it sonship. Sonship means men and women. It just means you're an heir. When we were born again, we had full sonship. Full-fledged sons in God's eyes. Yes, we need to grow and mature in our walk with the Lord, but legally, in God's eyes, we're his sons and daughters. Romans 4, Abraham is also called heir of the world. It's interesting, which means the whole world. This inheritance was promised and was given to Abraham and through his descendants, which was, of course, Jesus Christ himself. That's how it all works. Now, as joint heirs, we too are heirs of the world. Listen to Romans 4:13-14. For the promise that he would be an heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law or doing the right things or being good enough, but through the righteousness of faith. That's how he became an heir of the world, through faith. Okay? And then in Galatians, Paul says this, if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So we're included in what Abraham got there. So again, we have this inheritance of the world, not because of anything we do or don't do, where we deserve it, not on our merit. We get it effortlessly. He gives it to us because we're his child, period. We are heirs because Jesus died on the cross and he left us an inheritance. Now, who doesn't like getting an inheritance? Especially when it comes from God. You know, my mother-in-law passed away at 92 and she had some money saved yet that she hadn't spent. And the three kids, Luann, Mike, and Kay, it was given to them as an inheritance. So if God's giving us inheritance, it should be pretty awesome, right? So, how do we know what we've inherited? You need to read the will. Are you with me? The Bible is the will of God. The Bible is the will of God. Almighty God's last will and testament. You know, a last will and testament is a legal document that communicates the person's final wishes pertaining to their assets. It provides spiritual instruction about what to do with their possessions. Lawyer is used to determine the rightful heirs of an estate to the legal heirs who are named in the will. In light of that, we consider the Bible to be the will of God. The Holy Spirit is like the lawyer who distributes the inheritance. And then I found this will and testament online, and I thought I'd read it to you. Okay? Here's God's last will and testament. We, the Godhead, the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God, the Almighty, all-knowing one, all-powerful, omnipresent, everlasting, the beginning and the end, who was and is to come, creator of everything, the I Am. Being of sound mind and resurrected body, do hereby declare that the words stated in my word, the Bible, are true, binding, and eternal. And that it is and has always been my good and perfect will to give the following as an inheritance to my beloved, to my only begotten Son, Jesus, who is God, who became man, the Savior of humanity, the Redeemer of all creation. To him I give everything. I'm telling you, everything. You know, when I read that, I thought, amen, that's truth right there. I like that. That's why I'm reading it, wrote it. So, God's inheritance promise, first to Jesus and then also to us. Hebrews 1:2 says, God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance. Or another one says, God appointed his Son to be heir of all things. Jesus was given everything. Now, back to Romans 8:14-17, which says, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So, you just heard we get included in Christ's inheritance. When Jesus completed his work on earth, he completed it on our behalf. He sat down in his rightful place at the right hand of God, place of honor in heaven. And then he gave us an inheritance as his beloved children. So we're included in God's inheritance because we are in Christ by faith. Jesus considers us his brothers and sisters within the family of God. So, since we have this inheritance, which is ours, we naturally have some questions, like, when do we receive this inheritance? Is this something we get now or when we die? Is it for this life or the next life? What do you think the answer is? Yes. The answer is yes. We get both. First part of our inheritance we're going to look at is the one that's yet to come. It's a part that's promised to us in the future. And this is just a smittance of it. This is just a part of our inheritance that is promised to us. First Peter, it says, you have an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved for you in heaven. This is part of our inheritance that's still reserved for you. He even calls it an inheritance in this scripture. Imperishable, undefiled, it's there waiting for us when we get there. Jesus in John says, if I go, I prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. That's part of our inheritance. 2 Corinthians 5:8, we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's part of our inheritance, to live forever with the Lord. Psalms 23, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's part of our inheritance. Praise God. And then in Revelation 21:3-4, it says, God's dwelling place is now among people, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, no more mourning, no more pain, no more crying. That's part of our inheritance. Praise God. That's reserved for us, and it's going to be there. But there's many portions of our inheritance that are for now, for right here and now. I'm going to give you some examples of that. These are some of our inheritance as his beloved children. We are forgiven of our sins. This is a great inheritance right there. I'm telling you. We're forgiven of all our sins and made clean through the blood of Christ. Amen? We live in peace. Peace is our inheritance. It's for us. It's for us now. Not in heaven. He wants us to have peace now. Okay? For we have peace with God that surpasses all understandings. Okay? We were made into new people. We are born again, spiritually transformed, renewed, set apart for God's purposes, living through an everlasting word of God. We're new creations. We have read that before. We have victory over the enemy. The Spirit of God, who is greater than the enemy in the world, lives in us. That's our inheritance now. Here's some more. We can be used to perform miracles. Remember Jesus said in the same works and even greater works? That's what he's talking about as part of our inheritance for now. We have received the power of the Holy Spirit, and he can do miraculous things through you and me. I have authority and power over the enemy in this world. We live in our lives with provisions supplied from God. Do you believe that? God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. We've been given supernatural wisdom now. I've received the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Jesus, that the eyes of my heart enlighten so that I may know the hope of having life in Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ right now. That's part of our inheritance. We are to be his representatives here on earth. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a purchased people. We have been redeemed from the curse of sin, which includes sickness and poverty. By his stripes, we were, past tense, it's a finished thing, healed. Now, here's the question. How do we receive these portions of our inheritance that are for now? How do we receive that and walk in that? How do we get those things that are promised to us that are really ours? Good question. Listen to the scripture, back to Romans 4, 13 and 14. For the promise that he would be heir of the world was not given to Abraham or to his seed through the law or by doing good things or the right things, but through righteousness of faith. And then Paul says this, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This not of yourselves, but it's a gift of God, not of works that anyone should boast. How do we receive the inheritance that's promised to us for now? Faith. Now let me say this. It says, you've been saved by grace through faith. Meaning, grace is saying, this is available to you. It's yours. But it's not ours until we receive it by faith. Then it's ours. It takes both. It's just not grace, but grace through faith. That's how we receive this part of the inheritance that we have now already, that we know. We know we have it. We all do. I think everybody sitting here in these seats know that our sins are covered by the blood of Christ, right? And we've been forgiven. We know we're on our way to heaven. We know that because of God's promise. And we've received that and walked in it and believe it. And it's ours. That's part of our inheritance now. But there's every part of the inheritance is gotten the same way. Every single promise in that word, in the will of God that he's given to us as inheritance, is gotten the same way as you received your forgiveness. It's in the word, by grace, and we receive it through faith. Now, you might think this is funny, but think of the inheritance, these promises in the word, as being blank checks that God has written. Okay? Pay to the order of, you put your name in there. David Keith Brubaker. promise from God. Now, this is where people get it mixed up. If it's not in the word as a promise is our inheritance, you can't write it in there. You just can't put anything in there. It needs to be part of your inheritance, part of what the will says. What does the word say? Put it in there. And you notice it's already been co-signed by Christ. We have to co-sign it to get it. And that signature means faith. When you write your name on that check to get this, it's like saying, I'm having faith and I'm going to get it. That's how we receive it. I mean, this is a funky kind of a example, this check kind of thing. But you get what I'm getting after with this, right? So, this is what God says in his word. This is not Mike up here saying this stuff. This is from his word, people. Faith without works or action is dead. So how do you know you have faith? Well, you're going to say something, do something. There's going to be action along with it, showing you believe that you're going to get this. And Jesus says this again and again. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you shall receive it. Believe that you shall receive it, and you shall be yours. Everything is possible for one who believes. For we live by faith, not by sight. Oh yeah, I remember that. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave in the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Ooh, that's a tough one, isn't it? Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight. You know, every place where Jesus is healing people, they believed. Anybody that came to Jesus for healing received it, that asked for it. He says, and he often said this, this is just one of many where he says this, according to your faith, let it be done to you. Oh, really? According to your faith, let it be done to you. And their sight was restored. And then we have this account of Sarah, Abraham's wife, from Hebrews 11:11. By faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear a son because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. What was she doing? She was believing the promise was for her. She believed it. And by her faith, she received that seed in her from old Abraham, and she conceived and had a baby. Oh, that's awesome, isn't it? But you know what God does? Oh, he's good at this. He said, you're going to have that baby, Sarah, and I'm going to change your name to Sarah, and I'm going to change your name from Abram to Abraham. And he had to call each other Abraham and Sarah. We think, well, what's the big deal? Well, it meant that they had to call each other that name. Those names meant father of many nations, mother of many nations, was what that name actually meant. And they were calling each other those names from when God told them to do that, before she was pregnant, before she had the child, and their neighbors all thought they went crazy because they were speaking out the promise that God had given them. She says, oh, Abraham, it's supper. She's saying, Abraham, father of many nations, it's supper. And he'd say, I'm coming, mother of many nations. They were like, oh, this poor couple, they want babies so bad, they're calling each other mother and father of many nations. Isn't that precious, you know? No, they were speaking faith, people. And she conceived. Imagine that. That's how our God works. She considered him faithful who had made the promise. We just have a hard time believing those promises. We do. I struggle with them. I'm not saying this is on any of us. I mean, this is how we are. So Jesus answered and said to them, surely I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only have done what I've done to this fig tree. That's when he cursed it. Remember that? And it died from the roots up. But you shall also say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you'll receive them. Man, we read this stuff and we give it this mental assent. Yeah, I agree with that. But in our heart of hearts, boy, we have a hard time believing it. I do. I'm sure I'm not alone. But he's very clear here. If you have faith, and don't doubt. Doubt your doubts, people. That's the enemy. He doesn't want us to receive this inheritance. He doesn't want any parts of all this. He'll put in so much garbage in our brains to dull down the Word of God. Oh. Now what he's talking about, he's not really talking about physical mountains here. He's talking about obstacles, things in the way. What is your mountain in your life that's in the way? He's saying to it, speak to it. Speak to Jesus. Jesus is saying this, not Mike. Jesus is saying, speak to that mountain to be removed. Lung cancer, be removed from me. You can use the doctors, but I want it out of me, and I want to live my life yet, and I want to bless my grandbabies. That's your mountain, right? I don't know what your mountain is, but he says, and cast in the sea, it will be done. These are Jesus' words. Gotta love the Lord. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. Your spirit right now is jumping because it's connecting with God's word, saying, that's right, that's right. There's something there that rings clear because it's truth. Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs and joint heirs with Christ. And then the verse says this, if indeed we suffer with him, that way we may be also glorified with him. This inheritance is a wonderful thing. But this is a reality of being a child of God as well. Just as Jesus suffered on this earth, so are we going to. Even with all the inheritances, all the promises, does that mean we need to suffer with sickness? No. There's going to be persecutions, there'll be tribulations, there'll be trials, yes. But we don't need to die sick. There will be times of suffering. And there'll be testing when we're trying to receive these parts of our inheritance that we're believing for. Sometimes you got to hold on for the longest time. And our faith will be tested and tried, just as Abraham's was. How long was it before he had that child from the time it was promised? 25 years. I'm rereading a book for about the fourth or fifth time by Alan Vincent, great man of God. God used him mightily to plant hundreds of churches in India. And when he went over there initially, he kept getting nosebleeds, and they wouldn't stop. And he would get so weak he could barely get up to preach. And the Hindu people and stuff would say, oh, let us help you with that. He said, no, my God, I'm healed already. They said, no, you're not. He said, yes, I am. And this went on for a period of years. He's confessing his healing. And he wouldn't accept any of their Hindu prayers or Buddhist prayers or whatever the other things where he was planting these churches. And he just hung on. He clung to that promise. And you know what? He was healed completely. And they all knew it. Every single Hindu and Buddhist and whatever, they saw him healed absolutely completely whole. But it took a while. I don't know what God's timetable is for you and those mountains in your lives. I have no idea. If indeed we suffer with him, we will also be glorified with him. Our God is so faithful. I would challenge you, though, to look in the Word. Look at it differently when you read it. And I know this is weird, calling it a will and having a parchment-looking paper and all that. I'm just telling you, look at these promises as promises for you as part of your inheritance for now. Those ones that are for now. Take it serious. Take this Word of God seriously as you read it. Let your minds be renewed and start asking God for the hard things, the impossible things. I read through the book of Acts. I get excited when I read through that book. And they were just ordinary people. Sometimes we look at them, Peter and John, and they were fishermen for crying out loud that were changed by God, by Jesus. And yeah, they had an anointing upon them, but so do we. And you look at what God did through these men and women in the New Testament and how they interacted with, it's those same things he wants going on today and in greater measure because it's needed. So, yeah, this inheritance we have is beyond what we, these little brains of ours can even comprehend. But don't let it go in one ear and out the other. Let these words today, Father, I pray that these words, your word, will not return empty or void in any of our lives, Father. We thank you that you're a God that loves us so much. You give us this great inheritance. That we are your sons and daughters, and we have this inheritance promised in heaven and many things for now, right? For the here and now. That we can be witnesses for you. We can be your ambassadors on this earth, Lord God. That as we walk around, people would know that your favor and blessings and your inheritance is upon us. And they will see the favor of God, and they will see the presence of God in our lives. They will see the peace of God and all the things that they're looking for in their lives they don't have. They will see in us, and they will see your love in us, that we could talk to them and tell them, and that they would come into your kingdom, that they too could receive the inheritance that is theirs. So, Lord, help us be changed. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you.